21. So now you can do the math, figure out how old I am. I joined Compassion as the regional rep for Northern Alberta last February. And, you know, you wonder whenever you join a company or an organization, even one that you trust a lot, you think, okay, what am I going to find out now? You know, the what's behind the curtain? And, you know, I am grateful and it's encouraging every day for me to be able to report that this is the real deal. You know, this organization has a genuine commitment to transparency, faithfulness, and a mission that starts and ends with Jesus. Recently, I had the opportunity to meet one of the children my family sponsors with Compassion in Guatemala. His name is MacGyver. I asked his mom about it, and she didn't. Anyways, in Spanish, you pronounce it MacGyver. And it was awesome. It was an amazing experience to get to encounter this hilarious five-year-old in three dimensions, to meet his mother and to hear a little bit about her story, to see his homeland in all of its beauty and its deep pain. And shortly after I arrived back home, I heard about the volcano in Guatemala. Some of you may have seen footage from that. And I don't know if it was the timing of it, or what, but I found myself following every bit of news that I could find. I found myself praying and thinking a lot about that event. And now I knew that MacGyver and his mom were safe, right? I knew that I'd hear if something happened, but I knew it was in a different part of the country. Nonetheless, it brought home to me how this relationship I had with MacGyver was much more than just a financial arrangement. You know, MacGyver's dad worked in Guatemala City, where ash could be seen falling on the streets. And I thought about the fact that he could see ash falling on the streets and that there were kids that I'd met while I was down there who saw it falling in their streets and maybe even had their Compassion center have to be sort of temporarily closed just because of it. And so somehow this problem that was out there, right, on the news, got brought near to me through my relationship with MacGyver and these other children at the Compassion Centers in Guatemala. Now, if you have friends or family on the mission field, you kind of know what that's like. You know, the needs and challenges of the communities that they work in somehow get brought close to you in a way that they might not otherwise. You know, it kind of changes maybe how you pray. It changes maybe even how you see the world around you right here. So as we open ourselves to the needs of others, you know, either here in Westlock, for me in Edmonton, or through working or being at camp in the summer, through a deepening connection with the children living in poverty that your family may sponsor, we also begin to discover God's heart in new and deeper ways. And that's been the thing for me over the last year in this role that's been coming home to me again and again, is that in all of these different things that we're involved in, and whether it's, you know, the stuff that we were talking about this morning, some of these reports, the interactions we have with one another, as we open ourselves to the needs of others and to these relationships, God shows himself, shows his heart for people in new and deeper ways. Now, I'm really excited to have to be able to have Brad Goldman with me today. Brad is a musician and speaker who's represented the Ministry of Compassion for several years now. And he probably won't mention it, but he is in Edmonton actually this next week, because he has a couple of nominations at the GMA Covenant Awards. So that's really exciting. It's on Thursday, you know. So I'll be finding out. I don't know if I can listen on the radio or what, but I'll on Twitter or something like that. Very exciting. Brad's heart is to lead adults and kids alike in worshiping God through music, and to open our eyes more widely to see how God is at work in the world. So thanks again for having us, and I'll just invite you to come up.
It's obviously too small for me, so we had to go with the headset. Great to be here this morning in Westlock. I actually lived in Edmonton from 2006 to 2013, and so I'm familiar with the cold out here, and was bracing for that. As Jeff was saying, I have a ministry to many different ages, many different kinds of people. all the way from young kids to adults. And if you're wondering how I got involved in kids ministry, it was through camp. How many of you have ever been to a summer camp or a VBS or something? Okay, lots of you. Perfect. You probably have one here. And I think you have a Awana here as well and some awesome stuff like that. And so I was put in charge of worship leading at a camp for young kids. And I just found that the songs they were using, the kids weren't connecting so well with, this new generation. And so I just took it on myself as a songwriter to write some songs for the kids and created them. And the staff and kids ended up loving them. I ended up recording them. And God's done some amazing things where now the songs are being used in churches all over the world. And I get messages from kids and parents and Sunday school teachers and kids ministry pastors who are using them in Africa and Australia and South America and Canada and U.S. And it's just amazing what God's done with that. So I thought we'd start with just a little kids moment today, and I'm going to teach you one of the songs. We're going to have a little bit more aerobic exercise before the message, and then we'll do a Bible story for the kids. So if there's any young kids here who want to come up to the front, you're welcome to do that. And your older kids here, you're also going to be involved. So let's all stand up together. And I know in church sometimes we can be all prim and proper, and then we leave outside, and we become ourselves in some ways. And so for 5 minutes here, we're going to pretend like we're at summer camp, like, you know, you're in the dining hall or wherever you do worship, and we're going to have a fun time with some actions and kids stuff, okay? So we'll get this going here. And all right, perfect. Okay, so I think you guys are pretty smart here, so I'm going to teach you the advanced version of the actions. So we'll see how you do. I might regret that later on, but we'll see how it goes. So it goes like this. You basically start by doing everything that it says. So it goes, whether I'm driving in a car, so get your driving wheel out, shopping in a store, you just like put some things in your shopping cart, making mashed potatoes, do that, sweeping up the floor. I know all you guys love to do that. Cleaning up my room, so pretend like you're cleaning up your room, and then starting up the morgue, we're going to do the old-fashioned way where you do that, okay, and then I'm going to praise the Lord. So that's the whole first verse, so that's kind of the advanced part, and the chorus goes like this. I'm going to praise the Lord, so let's do that, praise the Lord, then you go down, praise the Lord, go back up, praise the Lord, I'm going to praise the Lord. Perfect. Okay. So just a forewarning, when I'm singing and stuff like and talking, I'm getting over like a 2-month laryngitis. So if you hear me crack, I'm not going through puberty or anything. It's just my laryngitis coming through. So verse 2 goes like this. Whether I'm dancing like a robot, reaching for the stars, running through a sprinkler, just run, climbing monkey bars, again, just do that. Swimming in a lake, you can either do that or like some swimming strokes, or rocking my guitar, air guitar, I'm going to praise the Lord. And then let's go over the chorus again. Goes like this. I'm going to praise the Lord down. Praise the Lord. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to praise the Lord. Okay, and then we're going to go into a rap. This might be the first time you ever had a rap in your church, but we're going to break the boundaries today. So I'm going to go, everybody on the left, what you going to do now? You're going to yell, praise the Lord. So let's see how you can do it. Everybody on the left, what you going to do now? Praise the Lord. Then everybody on the right, what you going to do now? Praise the Lord. Then we're going to do it all together. Then I'll go back to the left and the right. And then we're going to finish with the end chorus. Okay? I know it's a lot for Sunday morning, but we're just going to have some fun here. Feel free to sing along as much as you can. And basically the actions is just whatever you read there, you do it. So it's pretty simple if you forgot what to do. So let's try this together. It's called Praise the Lord. So you can turn that up a bit. All right, let me clap here. All right, so we're going to start with driving in the car. Here we go.
Whether I'm driving in the car or shopping in the store, making mashed potatoes or sweeping up the floor, cleaning up my room or starting up the mower, I'm going to praise the Lord.
Here we go.
I'm going to praise the Lord down. Praise the Lord. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm gonna praise the Lord.
Like a robot.
Whether I'm dancing like a robot or reaching for the stars, running through a sprinkler or climbing monkey bars, swimming in a lake or rocking my guitar, I'm gonna praise the Lord.
Of course.
I'm gonna praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm gonna praise the Lord. I'm gonna praise the Lord.
All right.
So everybody on the left, what you gonna do now?
Praise. You gotta do louder.
Everybody on the right, what you gonna do now?
Praise, 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 praise the Lord.
Everybody in this place, what you gonna do now?
Praise, 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 praise the Lord. To everybody on the left, what you gonna do now? Praise, 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 you got it.
And everybody on the right, what you gonna do now?
Praise, 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 praise the Lord. Everybody in this place, what you gonna do?
We're gonna praise the Lord.
One more time for that.
We're gonna praise the Lord. It's in the chorus.
We're gonna praise, 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 praise the Lord. Praise, 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 praise the Lord.
We're gonna
praise, 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 praise the Lord. We're gonna praise the Lord.
Two more times.
We're gonna praise the Lord.
Last time.
We're gonna praise the Lord.
All right, give yourselves a round of applause, and you can have a seat this morning. All right. We're going to do a little Bible story time. Oh, you can stay up here if you want, or you can go back, you know. You might be scared of me or something, I don't know. Okay, so this story is from Matthew 14. It's also found in Mark 6 and Luke 9. You'll probably recognize it. I'm going to read it from the Jesus Storybook Bible. Any of you guys have that at home? It's an amazing Bible for kids. And so what's going to happen is you're going to see some images and stuff on here, and I'm going to read you the story from the Bible. It's called Filled Full. So listen up. There were once 5,000 tired and hungry, and probably very grumpy, people sitting on the hillside wanting their dinner. They'd come to hear Jesus that day. They came before breakfast. They stayed all morning, all afternoon, and way past dinner. No one had meant to be out there that long, but that's how it was listening to Jesus. As if time didn't exist. People could listen to Jesus for hours, and on this particular day, that's just what they did. But they hadn't brought enough food, and they couldn't just go and buy themselves a burger and a fries to go, because, of course, they were in the middle of nowhere with no shops and restaurants. As well, that kind of food wasn't invented yet. Can you imagine? No McDonald's. What would they do? Jesus' friends had an idea. Let's send everyone home for dinner. They don't need to go, Jesus said. You can give them something to eat. Did Jesus want them to travel all the way to town and buy food for everyone? Jesus' friends panicked. But we don't have enough money. What food do you have, Jesus said. Go and see. Now, there was a little boy in the crowd, much like this guy up here. Thomas, right? Yes, much like Thomas. He brought a lunch that his mother had made for him that morning. He looked at his 5 loaves and 2 fish. It wasn't much, not nearly enough for 5,000, but it was all he had. I have some, he said. Jesus' friends laughed when they saw his little lunch. That's not nearly enough, they said, but they were wrong. Jesus knew it didn't matter how much the little boy had. God would make it enough, more than enough. Jesus said, bring me what you have. So the little boy gave Jesus his lunch. Jesus winked at the little boy and whispered in his ear, watch this. How in the world would Jesus feed everyone with just that? Jesus' friends said, because they thought it was impossible. But Jesus knew the one who made all the fish in the oceans. Jesus knew who in the very beginning had made everything out of nothing at all. How hard would something like this be? For someone like that. Jesus took the little boy's lunch, looked up to heaven, and thanked his father. Then Jesus gave the little lunch back to his friends. As Jesus' friends started to hand out the food, do you know what? It was the strangest thing. No matter how much they broke off, there was always more and more and more, enough for 5,000. Everyone ate as much as they wanted, seconds, thirds, even fourths, until they were full. And still there were leftovers. Jesus did many miracles like this. Things people thought couldn't happen that weren't natural. But it was the most natural thing in the world. It's what God had been doing from the beginning, of course. Taking the nothing and making it everything. Taking the emptiness and filling it up. Taking the darkness and making it light. And so, from that story, we learn that no matter how little light you are, or big, or old, or young, when we bring what we have to Jesus, it might not look like much. It might not look like as much as someone else has. It might look very different from the offering someone else brings. No matter whether it's our talents, our time, or energy, when we bring it to Jesus, He does miracles with it. He multiplies it. Even a little bit of faith, even that penny that the widow gave, the Lord saw and honored and was touched by that gift. And so we can't compare ourselves to what other people are doing on social media and what other churches are doing in the city and who they've got there and what's happening. We need to be faithful with what God gives us, what's in our hands, to bring it to Jesus and see him do amazing things with it. Okay, so kids from grade 4 and under are now going to be going to your kids' time, kids' program, Sunday school, whatever you call it. So see you guys later. Hopefully I'll see you after the service. Thanks for coming. You probably had to come, but you know, thanks for being here anyways. All right. Well, it's great to be here this morning. It's really fun to be back in Alberta and to be able to drive kind of out of the city, come see Westlock. I don't think I've been here before, so it's cool to drive through and come in. It's amazing as I go to different parts of the world and across Canada, speak and sing and play and teach, that, you know, as I go to different places, there's often a feeling of community, even with people I've never met before. And even coming to your church this morning and meeting many friendly faces, being welcomed here, just appreciate that. That really speaks a lot to what your church is like and who your church is. And, you know, although you don't know me from Adam and you're just meeting me for one day today, you know, we both worship the same God. We're all children of God here in the room, and we can connect through that we love Jesus. We love his church. We want to do what he asks of us, and we can just share that in unity together today. So you might be kind of looking at the stage and wondering a few questions this morning. First, how tall is that guy? Well, since you're wondering that, I'll take the pressure off. I'm 6'5½". So I'm not technically a giant, although most kids would call me a giant. The second question you might have is, does this guy play basketball? Well, I do, but I'm actually not that good at it. I spent a lot of my time with music and stuff growing up. For some reason, didn't get involved in basketball. I did play volleyball, but, you know, I could block well, but I'm not that great of a shooter. And third, you know, what's this guy going to be talking to us about this morning? This morning, I want to talk to you about how compassion in action changes lives. I grew up in Waterloo, Ontario, going to a good old-fashioned Baptist Christian school. It was at a First Baptist Church, which there's like millions of First Baptist churches. I'm not sure which one was actually the first one, but it was First Baptist Church, like many other ones, and I attended there from kindergarten to grade 8. It was a real great time to have the word poured into me, to have good Christian role models, good times of fellowship, and, you know, to have the word of God integrated into my schooling, and that really has, I believe, reaped many, not rewards, but just great fruit in my life to have that kind of foundation set as a young boy. I share this picture because that was our whole graduating class, 8 whole people in grade 8, and I'm the tall one to the top left, of course. But I share this because when we were in grade 8, we all had to write for our yearbook that they created what we wanted to do when we grew up. So I thought about that. Okay, what is it actually that I want to do when I grow up? And so on the bottom left there, my future aspirations, I wrote this when I was about 12 or 13. I said, when I'm an adult, I would like to be a singer or a piano player. I want to be like Michael W. Smith. I want to play the piano and sing for the Lord. If that doesn't happen, I'd like to be a teacher. And the amazing thing is that I look years later to see what kind of ministry the Lord has me in. That's pretty much what I'm doing, singing, playing piano, which I'd probably do for this morning if my voice is a bit better, and singing along, and teaching. And, you know, that was when I was 12 or 13 years old, and it's awesome to see that as a child, you know, the Lord knit those dreams and desires in my heart. And for some of you who are younger or older or whatever age, you know, the Lord puts those dreams and desires on our hearts as they continue to grow, as we develop our gifts. He works that out. As Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." What are those plans? Plans for you to be miserable, to not really use what you have, plans to keep you down and kind of grumpy. No, he says they're plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Those are good plans. Like, what a good God. You know, some people think that God is miserable, grumpy. Maybe from their own father they have a picture of what he's like. But can you imagine God is planning out your life and has planned out your life with plans that are not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future? Imagine just smiling down, just so excited about the plans he has for you. And as we spend time with the Lord and seek him and try different things, we discover the plans that he has for us. I love this verse in Matthew 13. And it's the same as in Mark. It says this: the people brought children to Jesus, hoping he might touch them. The disciples shooed them off. But Jesus was irate and let them know, "Don't push these children away. Don't ever get between me and them. These children are the very center of life in the kingdom. Mark this, unless you accept God's kingdom with the simplicity of a child, you'll never get in." Then gathering the children up in his arms, he laid his hands of blessing on them. I love how that says, accept God's kingdom with the simplicity of a child. So you know what that worship song we did this morning? That would be like the simplicity of a child, just having fun, praising God, being a bit silly as God's kids this morning. I love how Jesus didn't shoo them away and think, you know what, kids aren't less important. Kids are small, they can't really give much to the church, whatever it is. You know, he welcomed them to him. He laid his hands on them and blessed them. And you know, what's going on in other rooms and other places in the building with the kids is so important. Like kids ministry, that people can often say, like, okay, youth ministry is the cool ministry. And like worship ministry, yeah, it's got a cool, preachers are well respected. And the kids stuff, that's just like that little stuff that happens, you know, little Bible stories and whatever. Not really that important. They say on average, the average church spends about 3% of their budget on kids ministry. And yet about 70% of people come to know Jesus between the ages of 4 and 14. So there's some strange dynamics happening there about the resources that churches are putting into kids and the amount of fruit that actually comes from kids ministry and people hearing about Jesus when they're kids. I love that God, we see in the scriptures, has a heart for kids, for people who are down and out, for the widows, the oppressed, the poor, the outsiders. When I was a child, and you know, in that picture you saw me when I was about 12 or 13, into my teenage years, I had my share of tough experiences and kind of battles I went through. One of them was not really having to do much with me, but with my parents' relationship, and they went through a hard time. My dad left our house about two or three times over between when I was 12 and 16. That was very hard to deal with. And at school, you know, you think that a guy my size wouldn't be bullied, but I didn't exactly know my worth or how to stand up for myself at the time. And there was mean people at high school and middle school, as I'm sure many of you who go to school now know, who call you names that I won't even say here, that do things to you that are just mean. And like any other time, someone would probably be arrested for it, but for some reason, like in middle school, it's just like what people do. And so that really took a toll on me when I was young. That really affected my self-esteem. It really affected the way I saw God because of the way my dad was and treated my mom and how their relationship was. It really affected the way I saw myself because of the way other people treated me and not really knowing how to fit in per se, not knowing how to make friends or how to kind of engage with the way some people were. I was kind of shy. It's pretty, you know, sensitive, creative kid. And that was a real tough time. I remember sometimes in school, in high school, just like coming home and I would just shut my room because I didn't really want anyone to see like what I was going through. You know, as guys, we got to stay strong, and often we retreat into our caves when we struggle and try to deal with things there. And often I'd just like go home and cry. And it was just a really tough time through high school. But I'm so grateful that through that time, you know, I stayed stuck with the Lord, even though there was a lot of pain, there was a lot of hard times going on. But I stuck it out, and I would just continue to pray and just cry out for help. And, you know, as we do that, God often doesn't, you know, obliterate everything happening in our lives and magically make everything like Disney World. But he does often send things to us, and often they're people. He'll often send people to you in your time of need to represent the hands and feet of Jesus to you. And the Lord sent me someone named Joe. He was my youth pastor in high school. He he was kind of your stereotypical youth pastor, a bit odd, a bit like crazy and zany. But through all that, the personality quirks, I could tell that Joe loved me, that he cared. He spent time with me. He would take me out for a movie or go out to eat with some guys and just really be interested about what was happening in my life and really, really cared about me, wanted to hear about what I was going through, would let me call him whenever I was really having a hard time or going through some tough stuff at home. And that was just such a blessing to have that kind of big brother in my life. I want to encourage you this morning. Are there people in your life that you need to lean on, that you're going through a hard time, and God has maybe sent someone into your life to care for you, comfort you, be there for you? Sometimes we can be proud and not want to admit that we have problems, especially in the church sometimes. You know, we can think that because we're saved, because we know the Lord, that somehow we're not going to go through things and have problems. But Jesus said, you know, in this world you will have trouble. We've all got things going on. You know, in this church, there's probably someone else dealing with what you're dealing with, even. So we need to be open and to lean on other people. And also just recognize, you know, who can I be that comfort, or who can I be the answer to prayer to someone else for? Is there a young person in the church that just needs you to take him out for a Starbucks? Do you have Starbucks here? Or Tim Hortons? Sorry. Tim Hortons or whatever you have here. Or just spend some time, take him out for some food or a restaurant or something like that. You know, those little acts of kindness, like my mom loves to bake things for people, and she, you know, she does a bit in the church and other stuff, but her main ministry, I think, is just like baking cookies and banana bread for people. And even nowadays, like, not a lot of people know how to cook, so when you can make a nice home-cooked meal or something for someone, that just, like, touches their heart, or like a handwritten note of encouragement, they really pray, like, Lord, what can I say to this person to really bless them and help them through this time? That can change someone's life. They could read over those words for years and hold on to those for dear life. A well-placed word in the right time and right season can change someone's life. As I continued on, I went to Briarcrest Bible College in Saskatchewan. Got used to the bitter cold out there, but I learned making friends, learned more about theology, studied the Word of God, studied worship. And it was just an amazing time of growing and being around other people that love the Lord like me, who are wanting to be in ministry, wanting to reach out and make a difference in their lives. And that was just an amazing time of not only spiritual formation, but social formation. You know, I believe our God cares about the whole of us. You know, sometimes we separate our spiritual lives, and then there's our work, and then there's this part and our eating. But it all works together. God cares about how you're doing in all the different areas of your life. And it's just amazing to see how he'll take care of you in those ways as you continue to trust him. I'm so thankful that there was someone who was willing to invest his time and resources into me as a young child. And now, you know, those investments are paying incredible dividends in my life as I've been able to pass that on and be that for other people. I found that my experiences of, you know, fatherlessness and struggling with different feelings, maybe low self-esteem or working through different stuff aren't just unique to my situation or even to Canada, but they're found around the world. Earlier this year, I was down in Nicaragua and was down there with some people traveling in this bus on a road quite like this. It wasn't paved, it was bumpy and rocky, dogs around. It was beautiful weather, though. It was about 29 degrees Celsius, which I could kind of use a bit of right now. We were on a small bus going down a bumpy, rocky road. When the bus could go no further, we got out. One of the local church leaders led me to a particular house. As we walked up to the door of that house, this young 11-year-old boy ran out and gave me a huge bear hug. This little boy's name was Hernaldo. He welcomed me into their living room. I could tell that he was a lot like myself when I was growing up, kind of shy and reserved and a bit quiet. He's a gentleman and brought us all some plastic chairs to sit on. He placed them on the dirt floor, and his mother, Sonia, who's in this picture, the one to the left of him, started to tell us her story. The woman on the farthest left is their neighbor, who has been a great help to them in this time of need as they're here. Sonia started to tell me how their life had been very hard for them lately. Her husband had died in the past few years. He was killed in one of Nicaragua's civil wars, and he was the financial and emotional rock that their family stood on. In some of these countries, the men, it's still kind of that society where the men are the workers and the women are always the ones who stay home. And when the men who are the breadwinners may pass away or leave, often the women have a very hard time figuring out how they're going to make money and are left with all the kids to care for. And that's what happened in this situation. Sonia didn't know how she was going to provide food and clothing and education to her three young boys. Sonia shared with us how she not only felt the weight of this, you know, financial struggle, but also a physical struggle that she had an illness that she didn't know how to fix. It's made her feel very weak, made it very hard for her to be strong for her little young boys. But she was a praying mother. She continued to pray and ask the Lord for help. Not only for herself, but as many mothers, and like one of the mothers was talking about this morning, they're more concerned about their children than they are for themselves. They would literally lay down their lives for their children to help them survive the next day. For many parents and kids, the goal is not to make it to college and, you know, think about your 10-year plan of how you're going to succeed in life and get your career. The goal is, how are we going to make it to tomorrow? They can often feel defeated from the lack of opportunity and disempowered by the hunger and weakness. You can feel knocked down by the odds against you. But sometimes a good knock comes to your door. This knock came to Hernaldo when he was 6 years old. This day the knock was from a local church leader that came to tell Hernaldo some exciting news. He told Hernaldo that he had been sponsored and was going to be able to be a part of the Compassion Program. Because of this, he's going to be able to go to school. He said, you'll get meals during the week. You'll have a tutor. You'll get supplies for school. Someone in Canada loves you and believes in you enough to give you this opportunity. You'll learn to read and write, he told him. Add and subtract. If you really work hard at school, you could even go on to further education. And you know what? If you're not as smart as maybe some of the people, there's still opportunities for you there because they'll teach you a trade in how to bake or how to cut hair, how to do some kind of job that can start to make you an income. He told Hernaldo, if you're sick, if you have a stomach ache, if something's wrong with you, there's going to be someone who can care for you. There's a doctor or a nurse who's going to be able to look after you in that situation. Hernaldo was told in words and in deed that God loved him and had an amazing plan for his life. This knock didn't bring Hernaldo down, but it lifted him up. This knock comes to little boys and little girls' lives every day through compassion. That's the moment everything changed for Hernaldo. And that's the moment that would change so much of him and his family's life. Compassion invented child sponsorship in 1952, and to this day is the highest rated sponsorship organization in the world. What kind of organization is that, you might be wondering? Well, Compassion, we believe the most powerful thing and force on the earth is not a business, not the government or a corporation, but it is the body of Jesus Christ, being the hands and feet in Jesus. So always, only, exclusively, through the local church around the world, Compassion serves the poorest of the poor, little boys and girls who grow up in families that earn less than $2 a day. Every single child is cared for by a church in their area within walking distance. And they get five things that I think any parent will want for their child: education, healthcare, proper nutrition, clean water, most important, their very own Bible, and they get to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ through words and deed. Because Compassion cares for the poorest of the poor through the body of Christ and shows this love through practical ways. Every day, about 400 to 500 people come to Jesus through the ministry of Compassion. And that's not just the children. Often because of how the church cares for the kids and how the kids' lives are transformed, some of these children end up bringing their parents to Jesus, or the parents end up wondering, you know what, like, why are these people taking such good care? Why would they want to, like, feed my kid and educate them and do all this for them? They see the love of Jesus demonstrated, and they also come to know Jesus. The thing is that every child does need a sponsor. A sponsor is someone who gives $41 a month to underwrite the cost it takes to care for one of the kids in the program. A sponsor is not necessarily a rich person or anyone super special, but someone maybe just a little bit extra, and that mustard seed of faith to put into practice. A sponsor stands with that child. You kind of become a missionary to that child. These children look up to their sponsors with such great respect. They love getting letters from them. As a sponsor, you can go online and send pictures, write them cards, send them birthday greetings, and really have a relationship with the child. This makes such a big difference because they see that someone cares about them, that someone's praying for them, someone's talking to them about life, and they love to just know that someone outside is caring for them and believes in them. The letters are really the shoulders these children stand on to see a better future for themselves. At the end of my time with Hernaldo, I got to spend time about a day or two with his mother and him. And as I was about to leave, his mother said something to me that I would never forget. As you know, Hernaldo's dad passed away, and she said to me she was so thankful that Hernaldo now had a father figure. I was like taken aback. Because to me, I was his sponsor. I loved him. I cared about him. But she saw me as his father figure in that place of importance. For me, it was $41 a month. For them, it was a brand new life. For me, it was sponsorship to them. I was part of their family. For me, it was the least I can do, $20 off every paycheck every 2 weeks. What's that? To them, they couldn't ask for anything more. You know, in light of eternity, I know that what I give monthly and what I give in terms of time and writing and investing and telling him I believe in him, he wants to be a graphic designer, and I'm encouraging him towards that. His church even has some computers, nothing like the ones we have here, but computers like Microsoft Word and Office, and they're starting to learn even a bit of design stuff there. And I'm cheering him on and believing, and just want him to see, you know, as the Lord our good Father does, you know, him achieve getting out of poverty. He has a relationship with Jesus. He was quoting the scripture verses he was learning to me at the church already. He probably has memorized more verses than I have by now. And it was amazing to see that journey with him. Before I close this morning, I just want to share a quick video with you. It just talks about the divine connections that can happen. It's through someone named Hope and someone named Grace, how their lives connected together for the kingdom of God.
Listen. That voice above is never quiet.
I'm not worth anything.
I'm ugly. Nobody loves me.
I was holding my baby sister when she died. She got a cold, and she never got better.
I'm hungry. My family shared one egg for dinner last night. My stomach hurts.
Is God real? Will he send someone to help me?
My name is Grace. No one ever tell me they love me. I'm looking for hope.
Hope. Let it go. Those pictures of kids in poverty are heartbreaking. But someone else will sponsor Grace. Right?
I'm all about making a difference, but where am I going to get the money?
Sponsoring a child would teach my kids so much, but I don't have time for one more thing.
Sponsor. No more excuses. I'm doing this now. God works in mysterious ways. He pursues us. He interrupts our lives wherever we are. Our excuses are no match for his plans for us. If he's whispering to your heart, will you listen?
I used to think I was ugly, but my sponsor thinks I'm beautiful.
My sponsor was the first one to say, you can be anything that you want to be.
My sponsor told me Jesus loves me and he has a plan for me.
My sponsor's name is Hope and she loves me.
You know, there's so much work to be done in the world. None of us in this room have the power to change the whole world. But the amazing thing is that most of us in this room probably have the power this morning to change the whole world for one child. Today, I want to ask you to change the world for a child. I want to ask you to be the answer to the prayers of mothers and fathers and kids who are praying and asking God for help. So we talked about how God has a good plan and purpose for us and hope in a future. That's awesome to think about for us. But you know what? God has that for these kids too. And the amazing thing is that we could be a part of that as Jesus' hands and feet that are reaching out to these kids. At Compassion, yes, we give meals. We give education. We provide Christian tutoring. We provide a lot of their physical needs. Because it's an amazing thing to be able to demonstrate the gospel in action as we feed them and educate them and also share the gospel. At the heart of what Compassion does, we're really about bringing kids to Jesus, creating disciples that grow in Jesus. That is why we give them the food. That's why we give them education. Because we want them to see the Heavenly Father's love for them demonstrated. We want them to come into relationship with Jesus. As you'll see on everything we do, the difference is Jesus. We unashamedly do this for the gospel, for the kingdom of God, to build it, to create these leaders in these countries who need our help. We have a table at the back of the church today filled with children who are waiting for a loving sponsor. These aren't just packets, these are real kids. That's the only packet that exists in the world for that one child. You're going to be their one and only sponsor as long as you sponsor them. Your fridge is going to be the only one with their face on it. I believe God's going to knit your lives together as you write them. I encourage you to just prayerfully consider this morning. You know, if you are feeling that tug from the Spirit this morning, if you're hearing what I'm saying and you're saying, you know what, I want to take action today. Compassion is not just a feeling of like, oh, that's sad, there's kids in the world. Compassion is you having that feeling and then doing something about it, taking action, putting our faith into practice. And so on these forms today, you'll find it says their name, their location, their age. Some people like to find a child that's about the same age as their own child or their grandchild, something like that. Some people who are maybe more mature and wise in age might just want to sponsor a child that has 1 or 2 years left in the program, who's a teenager or older, and just encourage them through. One of those teens has probably had a sponsor before and they've dropped off, and they would just probably love someone like you just to encourage them through the last year or two of their journey. On the inside, you'll find a form. You just fill out your name, your contact information, and how you want to make your first month's payment. There's no commitment or contract to sign. You sponsor for as long as you're able to. I love in Proverbs, it says that whoever is kind to the needy honors God. I'm sure you've heard this before in a good Bible-based church like this, but worship is not just our singing. It's not just our giving. It's our whole lives. It's how we treat our spouse. It's how we raise our kids. It's how we use our money. It's how we use our time. That shows our life of worship to God. I love this verse in Isaiah. It says, if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry, satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness. You know, I started sponsoring myself when I was back in college. And it was an amazing thing. I thought I was doing something awesome, just sponsoring one child. I was like, it's cool. And I did that for a while. I sponsored one child in Colombia. His name was Michael. I got to meet him probably 3 or 4 years ago. And it was just such a precious time just to meet him, see how the church was changing his life. Then years down the road, the Lord started whispering to my heart, okay, Brad, it's time for another. And I was like, are you serious? Like, I already sponsored one. Like, that's what most people do. And I could just sense that in my heart, the Lord was like, you know what, Brad, I've been faithful to you. You have the money I've given, I provided for you for this one. I want you to sponsor another. And that's happened now four times. And so there's 3 other kids that I now have a connection with and be able to pray and sponsor. This is Cindy in Ecuador, Hernaldo in the middle from Nicaragua, and then Walter in Guatemala. And I love being able to write these kids, to pour into the lives of them. I'm praying for them. They often give me scripture verses like, hey, I'm praying for you. It's just amazing to see how they're growing and being discipled through the Compassion programs. The best time really to make this decision and follow through is today. Just put your faith into action. Thank you so much for those of you who already sponsor. I know you changed their lives. If you already sponsor, I'd encourage you, please write your child. It makes a huge difference to them, even if you do it once or twice a year. Kids often ask us, will you tell my sponsor to write me? And I'm like, I don't know who they are. But they love the letters. They save them and read over them. Please write your children. And hey, if you have the heart for one more this morning, I know it'll be a huge blessing to a child in need. Let's just pray together as we close our time this morning. God, I just thank you so much for this church. Thank you for their heartbeat to not only pour into themselves, which is important, not only to be fed themselves, but also to reach out to others. To reach out to others in this room. To reach out to others in Westlock. And in Canada. And around the world. Lord, thank you that this church has a heartbeat for missions, a heartbeat to reach out and bring the gospel to people who need it. You know, sometimes we talk about missions and it becomes such a faraway thing, but the truth is there are kids and families who are one or two days away from just complete despair. There are mothers who are on the verge of giving up. There are kids who are just hungry, whose bellies are hurting from lack of food. And we can't change everything, but God, we can change one thing. Lord, I just pray that you just put on people's hearts this morning. A child, maybe even you put a certain country or a boy or girl, a certain age on their heart this morning, Lord. I pray that you just bring divine connections, that we can be a missionary to a child in need in another country, encourage them in their discipleship journey, and change their lives and their family's lives forever. Not we have to, but we get to. We get to be involved in your work. Thank you so much for what you're doing in this church, what you're doing here today. Pray this all in your name. Amen.
So Jesus said, let the children come to me. You know, and whether you do that today with compassion or with something else or through Awana or Bethel or whatever, and we have the opportunity to bring people to Jesus. And I was just remembering an ancient Chinese proverb. You know, it said, the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The next best time is today. So God bless you in your week.